Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
By a show of hands, how many, if I need it, will give me 5 extra minutes tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 35 extra minutes, though, on top of what they told me. Yeah, you got to break the ice somewhere, hey? Let's just lift our hands this evening. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we don't count this a light thing, but Lord, thank you for foundational truths. Lord, that we as a church are preparing ourselves as the bride of Christ, Lord, a people prepared for every good work. I thank you, Lord, for even the structural, the integrity of this house, Lord, that we've walked in and continuing to develop, Lord, to prepare a house, Lord, where people can not only receive but grow up and be nurtured and produce, Lord. So, Father, we thank you that as we open up your word tonight, Lord, we open up our spirit now to receive that engrafted word, Lord, that's able to transform us, that's able to change us, to quicken us, to make us alive. And we say, Lord, let your word change us tonight, Lord. Let the revelation truth of your word be received in every heart and every mind, Lord. And Father, we'll be faithful as your word declares to not only be hearers of the word, but doers in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' powerful name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn, Sister Jamie, to the book of John. John chapter 1. I'm going to be at verse 1 through 14. And if you want to stick your finger in another place, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love this subject that we'll be ministering on tonight. I was in great anticipation. The Lord had pulled back my reins on it. And I thought about it. The Bible says, and just even what Dr. Morocco was talking about with the parable of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish and the talents that were given. And I was reminded of the book of Revelation that the Bible says he admonished the certain churches and he said, you've kept my word. The Bible says that God has magnified his word above his name. And I want to encourage you, even as we're talking about seeking the double and increase this year, I want to challenge you this year that if you want to believe God for something this year, with the same measure the Bible says you meet, it will be meted unto you. What does that mean? That means I want to get so enveloped and engrossed, if you will, and just fed by the word of God this year that faith comes alive for what I couldn't believe God for. Whatever I didn't see happen last year, I want to see it manifested this year. I want my faith to grow. The Bible says to go from faith to faith and from victory to victory, right? So whatever it is that God has purposed in your heart, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just by show of hands, how many in here will say, I read the Bible at least once a week? Just lift a hand up. Keep it up. Every hand should be up. If you're in this house, you hear the word of God twice a week, right? So how many would say, I read the word of God at least 3 times a week? Amen. How many would say this? This is a hard one. Every day of the week, I read the word of God. Now, everyone in here, put your hand up if you say, I eat every day. I feed my flesh every day. We all do, right? You can put your hands down. The only reason I say that is because of this. One preacher said, we feed our flesh 3 square meals a day, and we give our spirit a cold snack once a week. You think about that, the importance of God's word. And I said, you know what? And Brother John, some of these have known me for years. I like to feed people. I just like to. If I got something that I tried, my wife will say, honey, don't force it on them. I want somebody. If I know it's good, I want them to try it, don't I? You got to try this. Honey, don't force it on them. I thought, you know what? It brought a new light when Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Why is it? Because that's what you're receiving when you come to the house of God. God's word is so precious. It is so precious. And the authority, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the power of God's word, the authority of God's word. There's something about the word of God. It's not a little, just a little story. It's not, I even thought about the parables. People said, those are stories that Jesus told. But they had spirit and they had life to them. That when I received the revelation of it, even Jesus told his disciple, do you not understand this parable? He said, by this you'll understand all parables. There's power and revelation in God's word for everything necessary for life, health, and happiness. It's engrafted in these holy pages. And I'm praying that. I pray that over each one of you in my life that there's a greater hunger this year for the word of God. Because I'm telling you what, the measure you put into your spirit of the word of God, it'll activate and release the power of God. How many want to be a people of power? I don't want to be a powerless Christian. Jesus sowed into his disciples the word of God. He taught them out of the scriptures daily, and power was released. Even though you don't have to understand it many times with your own natural mind, but there's something about it. And I thought about the word of God, that it really is a love letter. Anybody ever get a letter from your boyfriend or your spouse when you were dating, or maybe a high school sweetheart? You hold that precious, don't you? Because it revealed the heart of the writer. That person who wrote that, if you haven't received one, you'll get them one day there, Kara. One of these days you'll get some. But you already got a love letter. It's that Bible, the word of God. It's God's heartbeat for you. And all through it, and I love it because I like discovering things in the word of God. But all through it, I see a picture of Jesus. And all through, entwined in the scripture, he was hidden in the Old Testament. It's kind of like, where's Waldo? Instead, it's, where's Jesus? Where's he at in Genesis? Where's he at in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers? You can find him in every book. And the reason is because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without him was nothing made, right? That's the Bible. I know I'm jumping ahead. But the power, I want to tell you where it all started at. The Word was with God in the beginning. That's how it all started. That's where you and I were on his mind. And that self-same Word, what happened to him? He became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That Word took on human flesh and became a man like you and I. What? So he could release the power of that Word in the earth. Just as God spoke in the beginning and created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? Worked really hard, strained his muscles, put out his back, because them moons are heavy. Those planets are hard to hold, brother. That sun's hot. No, it says, by the power of his word. And not only that, he's still holding them, right? Even now, if you get that one truth, that God's word is still actively holding everything in place. How big's your problem again? Did you guys see the moon's still there, right? Every time you, unless it's a new moon. But them stars, those planets are still there. They're not falling out of heaven. I know there's one coming close, which, study the book of Revelation. That's an interesting one, but that's a side note. There's an asteroid coming close to the earth in about 2034, 2035, the scientists predict. Could be that one that smites the earth and kills and destroys all the fish. If you took the Revelation class, you know what I'm talking about. But he holds everything by the power of his word. Why is the word so important? Let's go ahead and read. Back me up there, Miss Jamie. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Now listen to that one second. If you understand, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void or without form, and the waters covered the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God hovered. He began to hover over the waters. And I think about that because it's like, praise God, you hear people say this, Lord, just have your way. Lord, your will be done. Whatever the Lord wants to do, he'll do it. There's something that has to happen before any action takes place. There has to be, if you want to, I can load my weapon and I can have the right bullet in there, but if there's no blasting cap or there's no trigger to unlock the potential of that, that hammer released is what releases the power that's available, right? The bullet's doing all the work, but there's got to be something that activates that power. That's the word of God in each one of our lives. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the water. What was he waiting on? God, I got this covered. Holy Spirit here, I'll take care of it all. He was waiting for the word. And the Bible says if you follow it all the way through, and God said, and God said, and God said. And every time he said, he saw. That's a revelation right there. Charity, when you say, and Charity said, and Charity saw. And Charity said, and Charity saw. And then Charity said, it's good. Whoo, it's good. Every time I say, I see. And every time I see, it's good. That's the power of God's word in our life. I love this subject. It'll take me 12 days to talk about this, but I'm going to wrap it up. God's word is so precious. And if we don't hold it that way, if we don't look at God's word as precious and count it a precious thing, we'll miss so much, Brother John. David said, I'll hide your word in my heart, and I might not sin. That love letter I was talking about, you raised your hands, Janelle. You raised your hand about your love letter, right? But what did it represent? It represented his heart. You didn't go, this guy's full of crap. Where did he get this off? A cereal box? No, several hundred miles away. But he was right there. His word that she received through that letter brought him right close to her. She could hear his voice in that letter. That's what God's love letter is to us. When I read the word of God, he tells me how much he loves me. He tells me everything in there is for us. It's for us all the way from Genesis to the maps included. You can even get revelation out of the maps. But you got to hold it dear. You got to see the importance of it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me go on. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Say, I'm sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. What a travesty. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him, as the scriptures prophesied. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, it's God's will that none should perish. Amen. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can go ahead over to 2 Timothy there. The word always was, and it always will be. You know what the Bible says? It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I'm telling you, get this in your spirit. Everything in that book. You know the problem most of us men have? Brother Lee Howe, we'll get a nice shiny thing and we'll order it and it's got to be put together. And what's the last thing we pick up? Them instruction manuals. I can do it. Surely it's not that hard. God gave you an instruction manual. Instructions. Son, my son, listen to my instructions. That's what he's telling each one of us. Listen to if you'll obey my commandments. Well, I didn't know that. Read the instruction manual. Well, what do I do about my marriage? Read the instruction manual. What did I do about my health? Read the instruction manual. What do I do about my finances? Read the instruction manual. It's not just a little book. It's funny when you finally pick that up after a few screws have been missing and the thing's about ready to fall apart, everything comes together. Oh, you know why? Because the guy who invented the thing knows how it goes together. So guess who wrote the book? He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen? Is that good? Amen. 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Oh, this is a tough one. For correction. It means I miss it every once in a while and I got to get straightened out. For instruction in righteousness. Now, this is important. Why is it? Because many people say, well, that book was written by men. Right? Have you ever heard that argument before? There's a bunch of, there's 66 books, right? How many authors? I knew at one time 30-some authors. Yeah. So many authors. How'd they all get into agreement? They weren't even born at the same time. They didn't compare notes. So somewhere there was a God in heaven, which is what the word said. It is God breathed or God inspired. That's how you answer that argument. No, you don't understand. This ain't no natural man, and scientists have tried to disprove it, but they can't. They know the validity of God's word. How many years have they been trying to disprove and count that and say that's not really what God said? But we know it's the word of God, and the Bible says it will not pass away. So that tells me something tonight. Your faith ought to just come high right there. I can believe God's word, that he meant what he said. He said what he meant. He'll do what he said he'll do. Amen? Whatever promises that are in that book are for me. Get a little selfish with it. For me, this is my year. I'm believing for double this year. I'm believing for increase. And it's going to come right through that venue right there. God's going to show me in the word this year. I'm going to grab a hold of things I wasn't able to grab a hold before because I didn't have the revelation I needed. But guess what? The more time I get into his word, the more that revelation and understanding comes, then I can activate it, right? To him that knoweth to do good. Well, the word of God teaches us that. Amen? The spirit and the word agree. Listen, many people say this. How many people say, I want to know God? All of us, right? I want to know God. Faith, Dr. Summerall used to say, is knowing God. And faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by? Back to that Bible thing again, you big Bible thumper. Bible. No, it's him. You want to see what he looks like? God, I want you to speak to me. God, please speak to me. I'm going to fast for 40 days if I have to. Just speak to me. And your Bible's got a layer of dust on it. Ouch and amen, right? Speak to me, Lord. He said, I've been speaking. I've got it written down. It's right there in black and white and even some red letters. And red letters are really good. They're quoted verbatim. Lord, what would you say? Read your Bible. Amen. I want to be light with this, but I want it to set in. Because the devil will rob you. Every time you go to pick that Bible up, you'll get distracted. You'll start reading, and you go, I'm going to read chapter tonight, and all of a sudden you wake up in your pool of drool, and you had a nice long nap. Been there, done that. But it's what you feed. You're feeding your spirit. I want to get spiritually fat this year. I worked on the flesh part. I'm making it go the opposite direction. I want to be spiritually fat this year. I want to have the word oozing out of every pore, John. I want to have it to where it's activated, where it's a living. That's a wonderful thing about it. It's not just little stories. It's powerful. Let's read that. The word of God, let me see. What's the scripture? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. God is revealed, listen to this, God is revealed by, in, and through his word. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. Let me go over this real quick while she's finding that. Here's some characteristics of God's word. Anybody ever heard this word before? Immutable. That's a fancy word. Anybody ever heard that word? immutable. That's a characteristic of God's word. Anybody knows what a mutant is? Adina? Not that she's a mutant, but she likes them Marvel mutants. But immutable, I like that, because that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to alter. You know, the word of God is not altered, but it does alter. Isn't that powerful? Sin deformed us, but the word of God transformed us. Our mind needs renewed because it's been perverted under sin, right? But the word of God is unchanging. It's another attribute of the word of God. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. He's the same. Oh, you guys are Bible scholars. I like that. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. It's immutable. That means you can't pervert it. Well, Brother Don, I know the Bible says healing is the children's bread, but it don't always work that way, brother. You know, sometimes God does, and sometimes God doesn't. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe. I can't find that scripture. I've been looking for it. It's not even in the maps, Brother Stephen. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. He said, my promises are what? Yes, and is there a no in there? Just wait a little bit. Hold on, brother. Jesus told Mary to wait, and she said, I ain't having that. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. He said, wait, woman, it's not my time yet. She said, okay, I'll go to a higher power. I'm going to daddy. I'm going to your daddy. Talk to your heavenly father. Now, Lord, I'm responsible for this wedding. And, Lord, I know what you called my son to do. I know he's well able to do what you called him to do. It might not be his time, Lord, but my faith is going to pull on that anointing that I already know is on his life. Get my drift? Can your faith move the hand of God? Can your faith reach out and touch the hem of his garment, though he's passing by? See, there's power in those stories. There's revelation in that. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's faith. That woman believed. She already confessed it. And I think of what God has prepared for us that we have yet to walk in. Brother Zephon told the story this morning. That widow, did you catch that in that story, Brother Zephon? The widow of Zarephath. You know the part I thought, God, you messed up there. That ain't written right. Because according to that story, he told the prophet, go, for I've commanded a widow there to sustain you. I don't think she got the memo. Because if she did, she said, I've been expecting you. The Lord told me you're coming, and I'm going to fix your bread, and he's going to sustain you and me. That's not the conversation. But there's something about God. He calls those things that be not as though they already are. Oh, you were made in his image. He said, I want you to act like me. I want you to talk like me. I want you to believe like I believe, because I already counted it as done. I knew you'd obey me as my prophet, and I already counted it as done. And I knew that when you went and released the word, I already saw it. So what did the Lord say? It is finished. Is sin finished in the earth right now? No, but Jesus saw it is finished. At Calvary, he said, it's done. Hallelujah. It's done. Well, it ain't quite done in my body. Sickness is still, it's finished, brother. It's finished. God's already counted. Get the memo. You might not got the full measure of it. It's still wrapped in the instruction manual, but read the instruction manual, because what he has already done, you're about to walk into. Whew. I'm excited. For the word of God is living. Say, it's not dead. It's not an ancient manuscript. It is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Here's the wonderful part. Piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. What's that mean? What's the soul? Your mind, your will, and your intellect. Does your mind always think right? Does your mind always have God thoughts and plugged in USB to the Bible? Not always, but there's something about your spirit. When all of a sudden you something like Mary and Elizabeth, the babe leaped in me. Hallelujah. I got a spiritual baby. Sometimes the word of God, I get a hold of it. Something leaps in me. All of a sudden, there's a glory that comes on my body. And something on the inside says, that's good. That's good. I don't fully understand that, but there's an anointing that's released. There's power and authority in that word that I might not even wrap my mind around right now in the fullest measure. But if I receive that, and all of a sudden I say, I don't know what's going on in here, but let it take over the rest of me. Let this, but the spirit of a man, the Bible says, will sustain his infirmities. The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. That's that piercing. It agrees with my spirit. And then I tell my mind, I don't care if you understand it fully. You're going to get renewed. Hallelujah. Renewing. That's the part that's got to be renewed. How's it transformed? By that word. That's how powerful it is. It gets in my spirit, and then it affects every bit of me. It gets to your mind, and anywhere where it finally ends up, oh, this body. Woo, glory to God. The body has to get involved. All of a sudden, your whole spirit, soul, and body is preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. That's the power of God's word. The joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God reveals. It exposes. It divides right asunder. It causes us to think right. It causes us to act right, to believe right. And that's all by the authority. If you believe that, I mean, remember what I love what the centurion said. Now, I mean, I don't think a guy ever saw it before. I don't think this was by experiential, but he believed in Jesus so much, and he understood authority so much that he just simply said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Boy, the faith that came out of there. It blew Jesus' socks off if he wore socks. I know he had sandals, but maybe it blew his sandals off. But it blew him away. He marveled. I have not found such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. The woman that said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. She knew there was enough power. I don't need the whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. When you took that communion, I could have ate a loaf. I've been fasting, but they gave us a little piece this morning. But that don't matter. In that little piece, there's enough because of the authority of what that communion represents. How did I figure that out? Through his word. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, for you do show the Lord's death till he comes. We're rightly discerning the Lord's body. Amen? That word, that's why we do it. We're a word-based church. We are a word-based church. It's not all spirit, but word. We are grounded and rooted in the word of God. And you as a Christian, that's your lifeline. That's your lifeline. How did you come to salvation? The Bible says, how can they hear except what? A preacher be sent. What did that preacher proclaim to you? Good news. You were sick and he gave you a gospel. Amen? Gave you the gospel. And all of a sudden, your sin, sick, sad sack life was turned around. Spirit came alive. Hallelujah. Your spirit understood it right away. You knew you were born again. Amen? Because the spirit gives life, and all of a sudden, the nature of God came on you. I know we talked about salvation already. The other thing about God's word, it's unfailing. What does that mean? God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. Get that in your spirit. God's word cannot fail. And you know, God, I like this. God has a clause in the way he set up his word. Think about this. He said, I've magnified the word above my name. In other words, God said, I so uphold my word that I'll stake everything of who I am, what I can do, all power and all authority has been relegated under the authority of his word. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. So how many times do we make God a liar? I know the word says, but right? But I ain't found that scripture yet either. I know it's got to be in there somewhere because everybody uses it. But Lord, you are the Lord that healeth me. But you are the Lord my healer. But you are my provider, El Shaddai. But I make it a comical, but we do, don't we? Because why? Have you kept his word? Oh, I don't want to stand before him, Stephen. And he says, Don, if you'd have kept my word. Oh, I read a scripture not too long ago. Oh, it's in Psalms. And it says, the Lord, when I'm sleeping, is all through the night thinking about me, thinking about ways he wants to pour his life into mine, his blessing into mine. He's setting me up. See, it's a setup. God's setting me up. How are we going to double? God's going to set us up. He's going to set us up. You ain't going to have any choice because we're going to be preaching the word. We're going to keep activating the word. We're going to be people of prayer. We're going to be people of the word. And guess what? I don't care if you got to trip, stumble, roll, fall. You're going to fall right into the blessing, right? The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. I'm determined. I don't take that lightly. I don't take prophetic words lightly. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, when a prophet gave a word, if it didn't come to pass, he wasn't prophesying anymore. He was lying 6 feet under because they would stone him. That's how much God seriously upholds his word and those who represent him in his word. I don't lightly say, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the word of the Lord.
Pastor's interjecting his own scriptures
then
behind
said
you.
The Lord. I will hasten. Hey, there you go. And he does, doesn't he? He will, he will hasten his word to perform. I'll watch over my word. I'll bring it to pass. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful promise. And that's why it said it can't fail. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Now, how many of you really believe that those disciples, had they not woken him up, would have been the end of the story? They'd all drowned there in the middle of the ocean or the middle of the lake. No. If they all had a float over while they all were sleeping, they'd end up on the other side of the shore and said, oh, we woke up. We're here. Where's the ship? I went over, went down a couple miles back. Let us go to the other side. Amen? So why do I want to encourage you that way? What God's spoken over you? If you've let go of it, grab a hold of it again. Go back and grab a hold of it. Well, you know, I heard, I know, I felt like God was going to do this. Grab a hold of that promise again. Loose your faith. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. If God's told you something and spoke to you, through, especially through his word, if you grasp a hold of a promise, and that's the wonderful part, Brother Kali. I ain't got to say, well, I mean, that's for Dawn or that's for Brother John or for Mary or Tim. But is it for me? The promises of God are yes and amen to who? Him or her that believes. All I got to do is grasp a hold of it and say, you know what? That promise is for me. Amen? Amen. Last thing I want to say, or two things. Absolute truth. You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. God's word is absolute truth. It's not an opinion. I mean, I look at people and I say, hey, if you don't believe the word of God, we're not even in the same ballpark. You want to talk with me about your philosophies and your ideologies, then I'm rooted and grounded in the word of God. I believe this is absolute truth. Anything less than this is a lie. And I have to approach it that way. I don't embrace many truths. That's when you get into error. I want to encourage you that way because that's what's happening. If I can't get you to believe the Bible is a lie, then I'll just get you to embrace several truths. Alternative truths, plan A, plan B, plan C, right? There is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen? Lastly, God's word is final authority. The authority of God's word. When the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, one day we'll stand before God. And you say, well, what? God has the final say. We sing it, right? Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Right? God's word has the final say. And you look at your circumstance. I don't care what the doctors have told you. I don't care what your finances. God's word has the final say. I am blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I am the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. I am who he's made me today. I don't feel righteous, but he's made me the righteousness of God in Christ. What am I doing? I'm releasing the power of that word to be activated by my faith in and through my life. Amen? That's all we got to do. You say, what is this? Is blab it and grab it? Confess it. It's all about confession. Well, you can confess all you want. I can crawl into an oven and say I'm a biscuit all day long. I ain't going to be a biscuit. But you have to have faith in that word. Faith without works is dead. Because why do I say it? Because some people say, just confess it, Kayla. Just confess it. Just confess it. Confess it. Confess it. Confess it. I've been confessing. I'm blue from confessing. I adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. No, I know in whom I believed. Oh, hallelujah. I know the authority of God's word. I found his word true. I've got a revelation of that word. When I think of the communion as we took it today, I got a revelation about healing. I got a revelation about, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. He didn't say the perfect elders. He didn't say the elders with a PhD. He didn't say the elders who have proven themselves and raised 55 people from the dead. He said, call for the elders, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. What did I do? I just went to the altar. It could have been a two-year-old up there that was the elder. Lay hands on me, little man. I'm about to receive what God said I could have. Wow, we look not at the natural, but the spiritual. You think God don't honor that kind of faith? I can walk in and manifest the very promises of God because I just take it, I take it literally. Boy, you believe that Bible literally? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's life. Man, it's life. It's living. It's not just a logos word. It's a rhema word. It's not just a word. What's that mean? That means a word that's just written down on pages. I can read some old archaeological stuff that get me all messed up about what who the King Tut and what he did and whoever back there. That's all. They're dead. And they're buried. My the one that wrote my testament, the New Testament in his blood, is alive and well. And he's backing up that will. I ain't got to worry about kids. Somebody you know, go through a will and they fight over the will. And say, is that really what he wanted? Was that really what his wishes are? See, people trying to do that with the word of God. No, I talked to the one that wrote the book. I understand what his perfect will was, and his will's right there in the book. So I want to exercise that will and apply that. Pastor Randy, you have anything? If you do, go ahead.
One of the things that as we're reading the Word of God, and I even talked about this the other night to the Bible students, there's always, when you're reading through the Word of God, you know, Brother Don was talking about, you can read his word to know his will for your life or to find the promises of God. When you're reading the word, it's to show us things and to reveal who he is. And I'm calling on my Bible students for a minute. What are the four things that I said that you can always get when you want to, like, a quick study out of the word of God? You can get. Oh, you're going to do them all. Okay, good. Promises, yeah. So you can see the person of God, his character and his nature. You can see the promises of God that are for yes and amen towards you. You can see his principles, which give you wisdom and understanding on how to live, and the prophecies of God that give you a comfort and a peace. And so all of those things, it doesn't matter what scripture you read, but you're reading the authority of the word of God towards your life in those areas. Yeah. And so whenever you're reading, you can pull one of those things or even more than one of those things out of the word of God. And it's the authority of the word of God in your life. It's for you to stand on. It's to give you a comfort and a peace, a hope and a future. And so, and the other thing I would want to add to that is understand that it's the full word of God. It's the whole counsel of the word of God. So his word, you can't just take one scripture and then take that and build a doctrine around one scripture. You've got to continually look at the whole word. Because there is a spirit of error that tries to come in and twist the word of God. And that's what Brother Don was talking about, that you have to, if he can't get you to not be a Christian anymore or to give up your salvation, then he will try to get you to twist the word of God, to dilute it or to have a half-truth where you're not believing it fully, or where you're twisting it, misunderstanding it, or you're misguided in it, and where you're taking one scripture and you're not looking at the full counsel of God and taking all of it together as a whole. So you've got to make sure that you're understanding the whole counsel of the word of God and not building a doctrine just around one scripture. In fact, the Bible says that it will be established by two or three witnesses. So there's always going to be, another scripture that will coincide. In fact, I was listening to someone the other day, and they were, I'm pulling this out of my memory just from a couple days ago, but it was interesting because he said, in order for something to be doctrine, then it's going to be in the Old Testament. You're going to see it in the Old Testament. You're going to see it preached and revealed through the life of Christ, and you're going to see it taught by the apostles. So those three elements, other than that, those are doctrinal things. And so whenever we read the Word of God, we have to understand that doctrinally, we can't just take one thing that we found and build a whole doctrine around something unless we have found it to be backed up in other places. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, go ahead. But just on that note, any of you that are handling snakes right now or going visiting churches that are, that's not full doctrine. Go ahead.
Just another example that Pastor Miranda brought up. I remember at one point I was studying, and it was, think about this scripture for a second. It's in 1 Corinthians 14:34, and probably many of the women might have seen this scripture. Let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak. People make that a doctrine. That you understand that as a point. People will make that very thing a doctrine and say women have no place in the church. That's not what Paul was talking about. It's not what Paul's talking about. So could you imagine coming into this house and telling our women, you can't talk, you can't speak, you go to the back, you go, all the women on this side, all the men on this side. That's not what's going on. So and that's the only point I want to make, because you can't take, 1 Corinthians, I love it because Paul's instructing. He's instructing and he's teaching them. He's showing them. But we can't take something that's being taught or made to be understood in the way of teaching to make that our doctrine. Doctrine. No women allowed to do anything. That there's too many accounts in the Bible where women were used by God as apostles, as prophets, as preachers, as teachers, amen. So that's just a quick point. But the snake handling is also another great point, because there are people in southern West Virginia. Let's go ahead and put it out there. Hey, there's people here in this state that, that have died because they've handled snakes. Yeah, I mean they've literally died, and I'm gonna let that snake bite me again, and Lord, why? Why would you do that? Anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
I heard this one time. Is it faith? Is it foolishness? Or is it presumption? The just will live by faith. So anything that, again, the Bible talks in Psalms chapter 1. It says the plan of man and what God's word has for us. It says the man who delights in the word of God, he'll be blessed. He'll be planted. He'll be watered. And he'll be productive. That's why I'm saying the Word of God is so important. That David said, I'll hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And just to kind of go off what Pastor Miranda is saying, if you look, and I love it, there's a book, if you ever get a chance, and it talks about it's basically, I'll get you the title later, but it's Jesus in every book of the Bible. Jesus in the Old Testament is concealed. I mean, just like when Jacob wrestled with the angel, and that word was added. It was actually not the accurate word, but he wrestled with the angel till the break of day, right? I mean, maybe you know that story. And it says the angel touched him, and his hip went out of socket, and he walked a little differently. But Jacob asked the angel, tell me your name, right? And Jacob said, I'll not let you go lest you bless me. But he said, tell me your name. He said, why ask you my name, seeing it is secret? If you remember the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that they went in the wilderness, right? And as they left Egypt, they were in the wilderness. Well, what followed them in the wilderness? A rock. A rock followed them. A rock. And Jesus tells us very clearly in the New Testament that that rock was Christ. Why did Moses get in trouble? You ever read the story? First time he said, smite the rock, and water flowed out of that rock. And that rock followed them. They had a natural watering hole everywhere they went because the rock with the water kept following them. And then the children of Israel started complaining. And the Lord said, speak to the rock. And Moses got ticked off because he had a million complaining Israelites. So he took the staff and he smacked it. Disobeyed the Lord. The Son of Man must be smitten once. The also Jesus, if you remember, what did he say? I am the fountain of life. He that drinks from me will what? Never thirst again. See, the typology is called typology. Types and shadows of Christ in the Old Testament. But it was all a picture. It was all a forecoming of who Christ would be in the New Testament, that revelation. Also, what did Jesus say? I am the bread of life, right? Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my, ooh, that sounds cannibalistic here. I mean, what's he talking about? He's talking about that wilderness experience when manna came down from heaven. They didn't know what to call it. So you know what manna means? What is it? Didn't have a name. That manna was a type of Christ in the wilderness. Amen? And it was fulfilled when Jesus told his disciples that I am, just like we took community, I am the bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. I am the water that you'll never thirst again. Amen? God's word carries all authority, and God exalts the authority of his word above all authorities. Well, so-and-so's an expert in this area. Not bigger than my God. That expertise is not greater than the word of God. You know what's amazing? The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wisdom of the wise. Some of the greatest, most intelligent minds on our earth today are dumbfounded by the word of God. I mean, scientists will get in there and beat their heads against the wall trying to figure out how you got healed. It's scientifically impossible. It's medically impossible. It's financially impossible. He's the God of impossibilities. All things are possible with God. And all things are possible to him that believes. That's the authority of God's word in each and every one of our lives. It has, let it have the final say this year. Rewrite your story. Start declaring the word of God. And if you don't, I wasn't saying that to condemn you when I asked you if you read the Bible every day. But start giving yourself three good spiritual meals every day. Start feasting on the word of God. Let it get in your spirit. Pray ahead of time. Because you know what? Information without revelation brings frustration. I've got to have a revelation. And I can't give it to you. You've got to get that. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, reveal. Because what I say, the Spirit and the Word agree. That means when you get the Word of God and you activate it by faith, the Holy Spirit gets involved. And all of a sudden, that becomes tangible. It comes alive and living. I don't care if you even see the results yet. Just say that the Word of God is alive in me. It's quick and powerful. It's separating what I think in my mind and what I know in my spirit. And that word is coming to pass in my life. Amen? That's faith. Faith, what's wishful thinking? No, it's not. It's counting it done as though it was already done. It was already finished. Amen? Hallelujah. Speak the word only. Renewing our mind. Listen to this. Renewing our mind with God's word leads to God's word being hid in our hearts and following the flow from our hearts into our very lives. The Bible says, the spirit of a man shall sustain all of his infirmities. When it gets in you, when it bypasses, when your mind, you don't even understand it with your natural mind, but it becomes real, and your mind is transformed as you renew it with the word. All of a sudden, the activation of that. Can you live a sinless life? If you hide the word in your heart, you can. Because it's God's love letter. He loved me so much. He didn't leave me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. What we miss sometimes, John, is he's with us through the power of his word. He reveals himself. He reveals his character, his nature, all those things through the power of his word when it's activated in our lives. Lastly, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I won't go much longer. Five more minutes? Five, no. Nobody's giving me five more minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. James chapter 1. And I said Romans, I'm sorry. Romans. We can do that. We can do both. Let's do both. James chapter 1, verse 22. Uh-huh. And then we'll go to Romans. See, I'll give you a head start. Romans chapter 12. Shut up. Nobody heard that, did they? I'm wrapping up. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. Doers of the word. That means I got to do what the word tells me to do, right? I got to activate it. That means it takes a corresponding action. I know, but if you never do it, you ever talk to somebody, try to help them out? Now, here's what you need. I know. To him that knoweth to do good, but does it not, it's sin. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, that's a wonderful promise. That means if I do, just say I'm doing the word this year. I'm going to be a doer of the word this year. I'm not just going to be a hearer. That was nice. That was a wonderful sermon. Bless his holy name. It was just wonderful. I took some notes, and I mean, it was good. I mean, it was the Bible. I mean, I'm sure it was true, and I even got a little excited there. I mean, they were shouting a little bit. And what you going to do with it? What you going to do? Bad boy. I'm a Hawaiian. Somebody get you over in the flesh. Do the word. Activate it. All right, Pastor. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to go to questions. So any questions you have. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Romans. We're on the road to Romans. Hallelujah. You know what this is doing? It's causing Pastor to have a lot of patience with the sound people and those running the video. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, takes God's mercy, that you might present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the wonderful part. That's what God wants to do in each one of our lives. He wants our minds to be renewed. He wants us to count. Don't count the word of God lightly. What Mary told the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. When you read the word of God, that's how you become a doer of the word. You determine, I'm going to activate this word in my life. I believe it's God's promise for me. I believe it's God's will for me. Everybody says, well, where does faith start, Brother Don? It starts where the will of God is known. If you're vacillating back and forth, say, well, I think that God wants this, or maybe he does, know what the Bible says. And know what we said tonight, God will watch over this word. These promises are yes and amen to me. So I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to activate that word. I'm going to transform my mind. Any area of stinking, thinking, anybody have that? It's all of us do in some area. Get rid of that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It means I can think like God thinks. How's that? That's powerful. I can have God thoughts. Well, how's this going to be? 1,200 locations. And we're down to less than a year. All things are possible to him. Did God speak that going, well, shoot for the moon, boys, and we'll hope we'll get across to America? No, he spoke it to the man of God because it was well within God's capability. It was well within the heartbeat of God and the mind of God. So every one of the promises of God, whatever he spoke to you, I can't emphasize, whoever's here tonight, and that speaks to you. I just felt that in my spirit that someone is here. And you said, I gave up on that years ago. Redig. Go back and reread a prophecy, reread a word, maybe something you got through the scripture, maybe you were disappointed or disillusioned, and go after it again. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, Lord, I'm not letting go till I see this thing through, right? I'll not let you go till you bless me because I know who I've got a hold of. Amen? Pastor Miranda?
Let me finalize it with this scripture. Romans 4, it talks about Abraham. And let me just pick up at verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. See, it's not about, well, if I just believe, then it's just, you know, it's if God says it, it's true, and then it just changes automatically. It's you have to work it out against all hope. If it doesn't look like it's changing, against all hope, you believe in the word of God. You believe in his word. You don't believe in the situation. You don't believe in what is around you. You believe in the word of God. And it says, so that he became the father of many nations. How? Because he believed the word of God. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, meaning the stars of the sky and the sand of the shore. So shall your descendants be, as the sand and as the stars. I will believe that word, and so he became. So he became. It wasn't that he had to believe for 25 years. But it came to pass. And it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. See, you can't consider your situation. You can't consider what's in front of you. You can't consider your current situation. He didn't consider his own body. He considered what? The word of God. What had been spoken to him is what he considered. That's what he put his mind to. That's what he meditated on. And then it goes on. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it's not like he had his body going for him or Sarah's body going for him. I mean, they're both considered dead, you know, productivity-wise in producing a child. But he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Faith in what? In the word of God. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. being fully convinced that what God said he could perform. So he wasn't basing it upon his dead body, Sarah's dead womb, but on what God could perform. And that's what you've got to focus on what God can perform in your life. It doesn't matter what currently the situation looks like, but you look at the word of God and what he can perform. It said that he did not waver. He did not stagger. He wasn't as a drunk man going from one side to the other. Well, maybe it will. Oh, you know, I don't know. This is what's going on, and this is what I'm proclaiming now. But tomorrow, you know, pastor preached a good message. So I was ready to go again, but then the next day I'm back over here. He did not waver. He did not stagger, but he remained confident in the word of God. And that's what you have to do to see it come to pass in your life. Remain confident in the word of God and what he says he's going to do.
You know, one thing, and I want to add this too. The Bible says immediately for the word's sake, the enemy comes. That word will be tried and it'll be tested. And I want to encourage you that way, because when that happens, that ought to give you joy. If the enemy's coming against my mind right now, if the enemy's trying to tell me I didn't hear right, or I can't believe for that, know of a surety, because that word is tried and proven. And it's like Pastor Miranda said, everything. You think Abraham's body wasn't screaming, ain't no kids coming out of here. Sarah, are you kidding me? They even tried to do it another way and got her maid involved, right? Hagar, because we're going to do it. And science proves we can do it this way. But that's fully persuaded. Once you receive it, I got it. That's the power of God's word. Real quick, Brother Hagin, years ago, when he was just a young man, had suffered paralysis in his face. His whole side of his face just drooped down. He couldn't even smile. His lip was hanging down. He's just a young man. He's about 18 years old. And the story I told you about the prayer of faith shall save the sick in the Bible, he went to a meeting and went there, and at the end of the service, he just raised his hand and said, do you all pray for the sick? And the pastor said, absolutely. So he went according to that word and stood in front of him. He said, I'll be honest, I don't remember what the pastor prayed over me, but I stood on that word. Now, I'd like to tell you that as soon as that pastor prayed for him, his mouth went ching, and he was smiling, everything was hunky-dory. It wasn't. He walked out, and a friend of his said, you didn't get healed. He said, I sure did. She goes, your face, it looks the same. He said, I don't care what my face looks like. I got healed when I stood at the altar and the elders laid hands on me. That's nonsensical. That's imaginary. You're not facing reality. No, he faced a real God and a real reality that he wasn't yet walking into. And he went home and had a sandwich with his family there. And the girl came over and said, Kenneth thinks he's healed. And he said, I don't think I'm healed. I know I'm healed. You feel that? That's faith. That's faith. When you start talking that way, the devil goes, oh, no. Oh, no. I thought I was going to trip him up. I thought I was going to mess with his mind. He said he went to bed saying, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. And this went on for several weeks. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the glory of God came in. He said all of a sudden, like a rubber band, his face snapped right back and every symptom left his body. The girl that was with him saw him the next day and said, you got healed. He said, yeah. 3 weeks ago at the altar. That's fully persuaded. Amen.
Questions? Amen. And this is how we'll close up, because what a great night. And listen, you guys have questions. I have one question, but I'll hold my question. But questions tonight. Does anybody have questions around the message or the lesson or something that's like, man, you know, God struck a chord for me to ask this or that or whatever it might be? Anybody? Did I see hand go up?
It's not really a question, but you gave an example of a scripture that about women not speaking, and then you made references, so you backed it up by referencing, you know, all the women in the Bible and all the great things that they did. So basically, when we have a scripture for someone, there are other scriptures to back that scripture up. So we kind of need to know more than just the one scripture if we're giving it to someone, because they may try to, knock it down, break it down, and we're like, oh, but no, we have this scripture also says. So that's why we need to know the Bible and reading.
Could you imagine that when you walk in this house that we have five things posted up? Women don't speak in the church. That's number one.
Yeah.
How many women are we going to have in this house? I mean, I know the women in this house, right? I mean, you know, honestly, but you know, we're like, I ain't one there. That's Luke, you know. So, but if those were the only things that we focused on as a church, we didn't have the other scriptures. We didn't have the other scriptures supporting and backing it up, right? I know that's a poor analogy, maybe that I'm giving, but yeah, we have to know the Word of God. Pastor Marin, I can see you ready
to
go.
Well, I just want to say, if that's what the Word of God meant in that situation, I would gladly submit to it. Understand that. Like, it's not about a rebellion thing. It's not about, I'm woman, hear me roar. Like, no, it has nothing to do with it. If that's what that scripture meant, then I would trust in that scripture, and I would sit and not play a part at all in pulpit ministry or teaching or anything like that. But I understand that scripture is situational to what was going on in the church at that time, that it had to do with a cultural issue that Paul was speaking to. But and when you look throughout scripture, you don't see the basis of woman be silent, woman be silent, woman be silent. And it was not an instruction to every church that women remain silent. There was a lot of different cultural differences between today's time and what was going on then and how the cultures were. And then in another situation, when he talks about the women being silent, there was a situation where there was an actual woman that was teaching wrong doctrine in the church, and it talks in that particular passage where about false doctrine. So the purpose of it was protection against false doctrine. It wasn't about women; it was about false doctrine that was being taught.
Acts chapter 2. I mean, when on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was prophesied, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. All flesh, right? Not just, it didn't just say the males, only the males are going to receive that. So, you know, even having a pastor, you know, pastoring a church that has a wife that pastors, I've had people come to me, your wife preaches. I've had people point blank look at me, I'm not for that. Why do you do that? That's unscriptural. No, it's not unscriptural. Have you read your Bible? Look at Acts chapter 1. Read Acts chapter 2. What does the Bible say? Well, I never thought about it that way. Well, if the Bible's going to be poured out upon all flesh, it means all flesh, right? So anyway, that's just a point of that. But it's also knowing the scriptures, because people will want to take, you know, what Paul was doing a lot of times, I believe in the, you look at the Corinth church. I went through 1 Corinthians this week, the whole book, and there was so much instruction Paul was giving the church. We can't take that instruction and make that doctrine. I don't know if that makes sense. The Bible is, yes, we see the Bible as truth. What Paul's saying is truth, but we can't twist this to make this, do we live by the Word? Absolutely, we live by the Word. Anyway, you know, go ahead, brother.
Another thing is, one fellow said, the Bible wasn't written in American. It wasn't written in an American culture. It was an Eastern culture, much different. So you have to realize that in many things you understand. Jesus upheld the law in all that he did. Just when he called the woman that was a Samaritan, he called her a dog. Try that in your church. Hey, pastor, will you pray for me? My back's acting up. Dog? Children don't. This is children's bread. You'll be in a lawsuit. They'll have, what's his name, old Al Sharpton. He'll be here in a heartbeat. But I will say this, and this is a joke, so don't get offended. There is one place in the Bible for a half hour that women keep silent. It's in the book of Revelation. Don't stone me, please. Any more questions? Come on, somebody got a good
question. That's a great question. Any other questions?
Are you learning anything? after these pray on that. That's what we don't want to just, it was a nice little series. Foundations, ooh, it was good. But get it in you. Get it, make it part of your DNA. Start everything we're doing. These are building blocks, right? So everything we're approaching. Next week we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, his operation in our lives. Get a hold of it. If you have questions afterwards, feel free. I don't know, we ought to put a foundation page or something to have it where they can post something. Or if you have a question or something, go, I never thought about it while we were there, but that's what we're here to do, is to learn and to address the questions that we do have. But it's most importantly to activate people in the body to flow and to function so you're not tripped up doctrinally, that you're sound, not only just for you and yourself as a believer, but for anybody. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. So when somebody comes at you, I've had some weird questions before people come at me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll say, hey, I'll get back with you. I'll find the answer in the Word of God. I'm not going to go, because I've done opinions before. And opinions, everybody's got one. God didn't say in my opinion. He said on the authority of my Word. Amen? Anybody else?
I've been arguing about women in the Bible about preaching and teaching. And most of the women, are they in the Old Testament, the one that was preaching? Because I know the people that I was arguing, some of them were pastors and some of them were people that I knew about women in the Bible, and they said most of them was from the Old Testament. Then they said the New Testament didn't talk about them as much as the Old Testament. So they was going by, a lot of them were going by the New Testament instead of Old Testament. And that's where my argument is about why they going by the Old Testament when the New Testament is, I don't know, I can't.
Well, Pastor said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my maidens will I pour out my spirit. Philip had daughters that prophesied. There was many, even in the New Testament, there's New Testament example. Many will say, who was the first one that ran back from the grave, declaring the news of the resurrection? So we don't want to limit, and again, we're looking at culturally. You know, even when the damsel come back and said, it's Peter, they said, you're nuts. Peter's in jail. The church got what they prayed for, and it took a woman to identify what they prayed for. Everybody else was like, he's in jail. I'm telling you, he's at the door. So we don't want to ever, the Bible says with God there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, right? So when we start segregating people and we start ostracizing people because of either sex, religion, whatever, then we limit what God wants to do. God is looking for a vessel. And whoever that vessel is, Lord, here am I, send me. And I believe God will, just like Catherine Coleman. She was the one that said, I will, Lord. And it wasn't popular. Amy Simple McPherson, those weren't popular in the day. They came under great scrutiny, but God anointed them. What God's looking for is vessels that he can anoint. And that's whether it's male or female. It has none of those other genders. We got rid of those. We signed those off. So.
And that scripture is Galatians 3:20-28. Let me read it to you. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And, you know, it's you can even look in the Old Testament. You know, Deborah was a judge that she was discerning the law of God, and she was judging people's situations and executing the law of God over their situations, as well as taking them into into battle and delivering them from the enemy. You know, there's Esther. There's various women in the Bible. And then in the New Testament, you just have to do the study on it. There are apostles. There are teachers that, yeah, Priscilla and Aquila. They taught Apollos, you know, together. So there's various examples. You just have to do the study and understand. The last thing I want to say about any type of epistle, because, I mean, that's actually what we're going to be doing tomorrow in class. Everything tomorrow is about keeping the Word of God in context to what is going on. And if you think about epistles, which are letters, the letters that were written, all the letters, you have Romans on most of what you have between Romans and Revelation are epistles. They're letters to churches or to individuals. But your letters to churches, think of it this way. They were written for a reason. There was an issue or a situation, or Paul wanted to encourage or strengthen, edify, or correct something in the church. So you have to look at epistles as there was a reason Paul was writing, and what was he addressing? So what situation was he addressing? What was going on? I can give you this as an example, and I would say this to, where's Minister Lehow? Is he in there? If being a missionary in Hana, and I wrote a letter after being in Hana for a period of time, and then we come out, and then I'm writing a letter, and I'm encouraging you and strengthening the church there, but I'm giving a warning that says, I would recommend or highly recommend or encourage you not to go to parties after dark, including birthday parties and baby showers after dark, or wedding showers after dark, and then someone takes that and makes a doctrine of that here. Why am I saying that? Why would I encourage that idea to Hannah? Who wants to answer that? You honeys, people. Why would I say that?
Because there's a lot of like drugs and alcohol that comes out after 9, 10 o'clock.
Even at baby showers?
Yep.
Okay, so.
We better than, like, there's no difference in celebration for anything. Like, it's what's he call that? Like, you're celebrating someone who's pregnant, like, baby shower. Yeah, it don't matter if it's a baby shower or somebody's funeral. Like,
you
can't tell the difference. Yeah. Yeah.
So if I say that here and somebody makes a doctrine out of it here, they're going to be like, oh, well, then nobody is allowed to go to a party after 7 o'clock or once it gets dark, when nobody goes to any more parties. But a party here might not have any type of drugs or alcohol involved at all, especially at a baby shower. So, but we could make a doctrine out of it. You see what I'm saying? So culturally, I'm writing something to them that they understand, but it has nothing to do with another culture.
I have a question and an answer. Yeah. So I've heard the word. I've listened to preaching, and I've received the word, Brother Stephen, but it's just not working. Why is it not working in my life? Why am I not getting the results of the very thing I heard? That's back to the doer. And the Lord really spoke to me, and I want to encourage you as a body, declare. First of all, the Bible says sweet and bitter water can't flow out of the same fountain, right? That was what that but a while ago was. I can declare God's word in one phrase, and the next phrase, I can say something even as innocently as, I hope it works. Man of God prayed for a lady, felt the anointing, touched her body. He said, did you receive it, sister? She said, I hope it worked. He said, it didn't. Come back up. Another lady was totally deaf, her ears unstopped, rejoicing, praising God. She left the parking lot and said, I hope it lasts. She was deaf before the next night. It's life and death are in the power of the tongue. By my words, I'm justified. By my words, condemned. You'll eat the fruit, the Bible says, thereof. That's not a bad thing. Because if you're speaking the right things out of your mouth, you can stand on that word, I'm going to eat some good fruit this year. Because everything that's come out of my mouth, the Lord told me, set a watch at your mouth. I told my wife, I said, the Lord told me, no negative, no complaining. We can all, they did this. It's so easy to get over in that because that's that flesh rising up. But call those things a not. God pulls over and they made me late. And we were talking about it, you know. Leave a little earlier. Bless the Lord. Maybe they stopped you long enough. You just got a little longer to praise the Lord before you get to your destination. Redeem the time. But confess out of your mouth this year. That's part of it. Not just a confession, but believing in your heart. If thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth. It works for salvation. Why can't it work for everything else? All of his promises. And I'm telling you, if you'll set a watch and mark it, say, no, I refuse to speak anything contrary. I'm fully persuaded that God's word is going to manifest in my life, and I'm going to declare. And the Lord will show you sometimes. Well, you were there, man of God, again, I'll wrap it up. He was praying for a situation, and he had set a time. He said, before midnight on December 31st, I'm going to have this. And him and his wife touched and agreed, and bless God. They were waiting for, they're sitting there watching the phone, just waiting for it to ring, because surely somebody was going to bless them with what they were believing for. And all of a sudden, the clock struck midnight, and it didn't manifest. And they felt dejected, and they started questioning, God, were we foolish? He said, you were in faith until 11:59. And that's where the Lord encouraged them. Pick it back up. Don't put a time limit on me. Don't say, if God don't do it by midnight, we're all going under. No, thank you, Lord. I don't have to. Because what you're trying to do is trying to put God in a box. But I thank you, Lord, that I have it. I have the answer. And you begin to confess that regardless of what people around you say, it's contrary. That's operating in the power and the authority of God's word. And you'll see it. You'll see the fruition of it. Amen.
Amen. Closing out. Anybody else before we close? It's good stuff. Let's go ahead and stand. Well, never would we take the opportunity not to pray. If everybody would, just bow your heads tonight. You know, listen tonight, you know, you're coming in and you're hearing the teaching of the word and mixed with the preaching of the word, and it's being sown into you. And But it's important above all else that people understand that there's a way that we come into Christianity, and that's by asking and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know, I believe that this truly will be one of the greatest years we see people coming back to God. Maybe they've walked away from him. Maybe they've turned their hearts away from him. I believe that there's going to be a real coming back to the things of God this year with our families and with people we know. But I also believe that it'll be the case in point where people have the opportunity to hear the gospel maybe for the first time. They hear the very words that Jesus loves me. He died for me. You know, that would become real for people. You know, that we leave nothing on the table. You know, I always think about at points in time how important salvation is. And I remember being at Dr. Rodney's meeting one time, and we were there, and he had shared a testimony about how in a meeting that one man, you know, was called out in a meeting and asked about his salvation. And it was a moment of it was a God moment. God, you know, ask him about his salvation, and said, you know, sir, you know, you really need to do this. You really need to give your heart to the Lord. And he uttered those words. Well, I'm not ready. We hear that. We hear that from. I'm not ready. I don't have everything figured out. This isn't about figuring everything out. This is about recognizing that you need a Savior, that you need, you know, listen, every one of us, we continually need Jesus, but we needed Him for our salvation. And that night, that man was actually killed in a car wreck. He left the altar. You know, I don't know if that man confessed before he had died. I don't know the situation or the circumstance. But he, you know, I know that publicly he was given that opportunity. But how important is salvation for us to be able to help people understand it and help walk people through it and give them the truth of the Word of God? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to heaven. We know that, and we know that in Christianity, that's through Christ Jesus. So tonight, listen, if there's anybody here, you'd say, hey, you know, maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've struggled. Maybe you need that connection with Jesus. Maybe that needs to be rekindled. Maybe that needs to be refired. He'll do that for you tonight. Maybe you've never publicly confessed Him. Maybe you've never said, I've never made Him Lord of my life. Maybe I once did, but I'm far away from Him. Tonight, Jesus will meet you at an altar. And you can leave here tonight knowing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can leave here tonight knowing that salvation is a free gift given to you. So if that's anybody here tonight, just, you know, as I've been talking, I'm done talking now, just search your heart. If that's anybody here, you'd say, hey, Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me? You know, just anybody here tonight, you let it marinate for just a few seconds here. Let it marinate. Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me? If that's anybody here, just slip up a hand. I want to make sure tonight that we have an opportunity to pray with you. If that's anybody here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Pastor Miranda, you have a mic. You care to bless us on the way out tonight? Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for just your presence tonight. We thank you for the answers that we can find in the Word of God, that they are yes and amen towards us who believe. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word, that we can activate, we can prophesy, we can speak over our situations and see those things changed. We thank you, Lord, you have given us authority through your Word. And I pray, Father, that every person has a mighty revelation, a great revelation of the power that you've given to each and every one of us. We thank you tonight that you have shared this inheritance with us. We're your children, and we thank you, Lord, that all these things that you've freely given to us so that we can freely give to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And John, happy birthday.